about you. I'm enjoying being in God's presence this morning and praying that prayer. It's fantastic. There's just something that is so significant and special, isn't there, as we gather together and just for a moment allow ourselves to get lost in his presence, overwhelmed by his goodness and his kindness for us, and to pray the prayer which changes the world. It's nice to be involved in something that changes the world, don't you think? Lives of significance, invited to partner with God in his mission. What a wonderful privilege it is to do that. This morning, I'm really excited. I want to start something new in our Sunday morning teaching. We're going to start a series together that we've titled Simplified Living. And let me start with a question. How many people would like to have some of these characteristics in your life? How many people would like to have to be more energized? How many people would like to be more organized? Anybody? How many people would like to be more in control? How many people would like to be more fulfilled? How many people would like to be more whole? Lots of hands going up, and I guess if your hand wasn't going up, then inside it probably was. I think it's partly a recognition of the world that we live in. And maybe you know people, maybe you've had conversations with people very recently, and they may have said to you what it looks like to feel exhausted, some of the opposites of these things, to be overwhelmed, to be anxious, to be isolated, to be dissatisfied, or even wounded. And I think as many of us would recognize that the world in which we live in doesn't make these things necessarily particularly easy. I don't know if they ever were easy, but I think right now where we're living, it's very often very difficult to find these things in our lives. I don't think it's limited to any particular people group. I think if you're younger or older, for men, for women, for those who find themselves in professions of some kind, or those who don't, I think pretty much whoever you are, wherever you're at, these things are applicable, which is why we want to talk about them on Sunday mornings and why we believe that we have some good news to share. Of course, Jesus himself, he said this. He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Or another translation, the NLT says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So it was Jesus' intention that we should live a full and satisfied life. And so if that was his intention, it must mean that it's possible, which is good news, because I'd feel like a bit of a fake if I was stood in front of you this morning hoping that we could do something together that is impossible. But I believe that actually if this was Jesus' mandate, this is what he said could happen, then we have to believe that it not just only is possible, but it will be possible for us in our lives. And we've said as a church that we want to be one of our vision, what we see is we want to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. And being spiritually healthy, I believe, lines us up with some of the principles that we're going to talk about, some of the things that we're going to look at in terms of a simplified living. So we'll go on a bit of a journey. How many people want to join in the journey? Good. And this morning, I guess I want to talk about energy. I want to think about moving from depleted and exhausted to energized. So anybody interested in this topic this morning? Good. We're on the same page. So let me ask you another question. How many people recognize and understand what this sign is? If you see this sign, those of you who are drivers, you know, if you see this sign, you know what it means, right? Anybody, people know? You've seen this? Anybody seen this sign before? Anybody seen it flashing before? Okay, very good. How many people know what this sign is? It's a different one. It's on the dashboard. Hopefully, those of you who are learning to drive, we have a learner driver in our house, so he's watching this very carefully, I'm sure. How many people know what this sign means? Yeah, a few people are nodding as if they have personal experience of knowing what this sign means. I think it's something to do with the radiator, isn't it? I'm not too hot on these things. And sorry? Oh yes, good, yes, clever. So watching out for these signs is incredibly important. I tell you what, let's just do a quick personality test. How many If you're driving and you see the yellow fuel light come on, how many people think, okay, well, I've got a bit longer to go. I can just eke a little bit more out. There's more time. I don't have to put any. There's quite a few people in the room who think like that. And yes, people know, they know that that sign means nothing. It means that actually I should start thinking in the next 40 or 50 miles about doing something, taking some action. Well, confession to make, a long time ago, I've had the experience of ignoring the sign. And if you want to know what happens, the car really does stop. The car really does stop if you don't take notice of the warning signs. Thankfully, it was a long time ago, and I never do that anymore. And I counsel everyone that there's no need, because you're still going to fill it up at some point, so why not fill it up today? Everyone said amen. And so, very simply, do we take notice of the warning signs? And I think this morning as I talk, I just want to talk about some of the warning signs and maybe how we should take note of them. It's a bit like this with our lives, isn't it? It's a bit like we have a spiritual tank, an emotional tank, a physical tank. And in the same way that our car has warning signs, there are warning signs as well for us in our lives. And I don't know about you, but if I asked you to think about what your life looks like when you are living on empty versus when you're living on full, how many people would say that actually lots of things look very different? You know, our perspective is different. I know for me that when I'm living on full, my outlook is very different. There are less things that I'm likely to get stressed about. There are less things that I'm likely to become anxious about. We don't have a dog in our house, but if we did, I think I'd be less likely to kick it in those circumstances. And the little challenges of life, you know, sometimes things which don't bother you at all, but you know, when you're running on empty, suddenly they become like major big things in your life. Is there anybody else who can relate to that? And the problem is that when things like this start to happen, it means that we can allow other things into our life. Sometimes we allow fear in. Maybe it means that we allow things that disrupt our peace inside. And it means that sometimes we end up wasting time and diverting our time to other things which are non-replenishing. How many people know that when you're feeling depleted or low, that we turn to other things in our lives? Maybe we overeat, or maybe we go to the biscuit cupboard. Not that there's anything wrong with biscuits. Maybe we go to the cupboard to drink some stuff, and you know, we drink too much. Maybe there are things where we make some unwise choices. Maybe we find ourselves looking at things that we shouldn't look at. Maybe we find ourselves being tempted by things that we otherwise would be tempted to look at normally. Running on empty can be dangerous. But of course, we don't have to stay there. That's the good news. And we can think about how our lives can be lived the way that God originally intended. So this morning, I want to talk about God's replenishment plan, the plan that he has for us to live lives in fullness the way that he intended. And I want us to look at a story. It's one of my favorite stories, I think, in the Old Testament. In the Bible, it's found in 1 Kings, chapters 18 and 19. I'm not going to read all of it this morning, but you have the opportunity to go away and have a read of that. But just to bring us all onto the same page, it's about a guy called Elijah. And in chapter 18, it's a real climax of this character, this prophet, so this man of God. In the Old Testament, he's defeated 400, we understand in the story, he's defeated 400 prophets of Baal. The heavens have been opened, so he's been involved in this interaction with the weather, where it stopped raining, and then it started raining, and Elijah was right at the center of that. How many people know that sounds like a pretty cool place to be? Anyone else want to have that kind of gift? Sorting out the weather could be kind of handy, couldn't it? And Elijah, basically, he's just a massive superhero. You know, you can imagine at the time, people must have referred to him, you know, is it a bird, is it a plane? No, it's Elijah. He's like, he's invincible. I don't know if he had a red cape and wore his pants outside of his trousers. I don't know if that's what he looked like. But there's that real sense that in those days, you know, if you went for a McDonald's Happy Meal, Elijah would likely be this superhero on the box and the plastic toy inside, I'm sure, whatever the equivalent was. So everything has gone well for Elijah in chapter 18. You think everything, it looks like he's invincible. Everything is going brilliantly. But then suddenly, and it's in the next chapter, but it's also in the next chapter of his life, we find out that he finds himself right at his lowest ebb, right at the bottom. And he gets this message from Queen Jezebel. Basically, she says she's powerful, and basically she says that she's going to kill him. Fear overwhelms him. It literally shakes and rocks his world. And fear comes into his life, and it overwhelms him, overpowers him. And we find that in chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, this is what he says. So this is off the back of all this success he has. And he says, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life." I mean, pretty serious place to be. I don't know if anyone else has felt they've ever come to that point, but that's a pretty low point after all the significant things that have happened in Elijah's life. And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes there's things that crowd in our lives. Maybe we don't have threats against our lives, but sometimes fear can come in and can crowd in, it can overwhelm us, and it causes us to think very differently and have our perspective changed. But if God has a plan and he wants us to live our lives replenished, then what can we learn from Elijah to help us to be able to do that? So there's four things this morning that I just want us to look at very quickly, and then we'll pray and we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Seems very appropriate, doesn't it, on Pentecost Sunday. We'll do that together. So God's replenishment plan, four things. Number one. And this sounds very simple and straightforward, but number one, take care of your physical needs. An influential Christian counseling organization looks at five things when people come to them for help. The five different areas of life. Five things: spiritual, mental, emotional, volitional, which is to do with our will, and physical. But do you know what they start with when you go and see this counseling organization? Do you know where they start? You know, it's a Christian counseling organization, so you think, well, maybe they start with the spiritual. Well, they don't. They actually start with physical needs. And sometimes, if we get depleted, sometimes if we need replenishing, it can just be something as simple as we are physically run down. You know, God created us whole. We're all connected, aren't we? We're fearfully, wonderfully made. We are intricately put together. And all the different aspects of our character and our personality. But we're all housed in a shell, aren't we? Mine looks like this. Sorry about that. But what happens is that when we're depleted and we're run down, and look at Elijah. And everything's gone well. It's a period of success. But because of what happens, it's clear that he's tired and he's drained and he's worn out. And God, of course, who we know is the wonderful counselor, he actually sends an angel to Elijah. And listen to this, the words are beyond here. He says, all at once, this is what happened to Elijah, all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. Sounds nice, isn't it? Can you just picture that? The bread is baked over hot coals. Lucky Elijah. And a jar of water. I know some people would ask for something other than water, but water sounds pretty good to me. He ate and he drank, then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights. Pretty amazing meal by the sounds of it. But it's something very, it's very practical, isn't it? You notice the way that God comes in this particular circumstance to Elijah. The first thing he does is he says, well, if we're going to get you back on track, Elijah, the first thing you need is a good meal. Maybe it's time to sleep. Maybe it's time to get re-energized, and then you'll be ready to go on with the journey. The angel says, if you don't do this, the journey will be too long for you. And sometimes, you know, there's lots of deeply spiritual things we need to learn, but do you know, sometimes we just got to do some very practical stuff. God's interested in the whole area, whole parts of our lives, isn't he? And sometimes it just might mean that a good night's sleep will do you and do me some good. I'm speaking to myself here as well, by the way. This is for all of us. What does it look like for us to live healthy, to put things in place in our lives, the stuff that we eat, exercise? How many people know that that actually doing something physical with our bodies, something where we get out and do something maybe outside, go swimming? I know there's people in the room who do all kinds of physical stuff. How many people know that after you've done that, actually it enhances everything? I know that. I know what I do is there's people who play badminton, that's right, yes, they're nodding at, and people who go swimming, there's people who, I like to ride my bike. I don't do it as much as I probably would like to, but I know there's other bike riders in the room. We just find the thing that is going to help us. I know that if I've been on a bike ride somewhere, the rest of everything else is just, the perspective is so much different. Anybody else? Okay, this afternoon, let's meet in the car park with your bikes. I'm joking. And actually, sometimes those around who know us will know that actually to help us get replenished, I've got people in my house who even send me sometimes. They say, Matt, I think it'd be good for you to go for a bike ride right now. And it's helpful to have people who give us that kind of wise counsel, isn't it? Some things are complicated, some things are less complicated. Looking after our physical needs. And that's the first thing that happens for Elijah. Number two, so take care of your physical needs. Number two, spend time in God's presence. As well as being physical, of course, we are spiritual beings. It's the way that God has made us. And inside each of us, there is a God-shaped hole. We're made with a need and a desire, aren't we, for God's presence. And there's something about us that if we don't have that need met, then we just know that something is missing, you know, something is not right. It's a thing that people are searching for, whether they know it or not. And of course, we celebrated it again this morning, but we have, once we have Jesus, once we've met God himself and had that connection with him, our lives are changed and transformed, aren't they? And so what happens in this story for Elijah, he's invigorated by the food. The food itself might have even been supernatural because it says it sustains him for 40 days and 40 nights. And then in verse 8, we read this. It says, until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, there he went into a cave and spent the night. Okay, so what's so significant about Mount Horeb? Well, this was the mountain where God met with Moses. And therefore, it was a very symbolic destination. The place that Elijah headed to wasn't just a nice place in the mountains because he thought that might be a great place to replenish, or maybe he thought it was a good place. He ends up in a cave, so part of it may have been hiding. But I think it's very clear that actually he was going because he knew that this was the place where he could meet with God. This was the place where he would find God's presence. And what happens, he has this a lovely encounter with God in this place at Mount Horeb. And God says to him, God says to Elijah, what are you doing? Interesting, when God asks a question, how many people know that he already knows the answer? But sometimes, and don't you think this is wonderful, that the God who created us, that created the whole earth, created this planet, created all of us, sometimes just wants to have a very intimate and honest conversation with us. And at this point in Elijah's life, it's very simple. He just wants to have an honest, open conversation with Elijah. And it's the same for us, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to get aside and just have a quiet conversation with God in his presence. And then what happens in the story, there's a series of displays of power. There's a mighty wind, there's an earthquake, and then there's a mighty fire. And God speaks to Elijah after all of that. And how does God speak to him? In a gentle whisper. It says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. And sometimes one of the most replenishing things we can know, that we can be aware of, is the gentle whisper of God. I don't know how many times I could tell you the stories of the moments when maybe I've been in a time of difficulty, maybe there's been a struggle, maybe I felt depleted, but just to know the gentle whisper of God in my life. And if you don't know that, if you haven't heard that, can I encourage you to ask and to listen and to say, God, would you speak to me today, right now? You know, God is always wanting to speak to us. The problem is not whether God wants to speak. The problem, as with most of the things in our relationship with God, the problem is on our end of the transaction, isn't it? And it's not, transaction isn't even the right word, of course, because it's all about a relationship with Him. And of course, the great news for us is that we don't have to travel to Mount Horeb. We don't have to travel 40 days to have that connection with God. The wonderful thing is for us in the New Testament, we're celebrating it today, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus is poured out so that we can, wherever we are, right here, right now, tomorrow, right throughout the week, we can know God's presence in our lives. That's pretty good news too, isn't it? And maybe over the last 10 or 11 days as we've been praying, Thy Kingdom Come, and we've intentionally and deliberately set aside time to pray, maybe you've got into a new habit. Maybe you've found a new space and a place to be able to do that. Maybe you've connected with God in ways that you've not done before. Well, can I encourage you to keep up the habit? Can I encourage you to continue to put aside time? For some of us, we think, oh, this has got to be hours and hours of our day. But can I encourage you that if you've not done this before, just to allow 10, 15 minutes. I've heard stories where people have just put aside time to prioritize spending time and presence with God. And you hear some very wise people, don't you? And they say, oh, it took me 20 years to learn this. Well, let's encourage one another to not take 20 years or 30 or 40. And I know some of us do this, but let's encourage one another and encourage ourselves to align ourselves, find a place where we know God's presence. So we should take care of our physical needs, spend time in God's presence. And then the third thing that I think happens with Elijah that replenishes him is to do with staying focused on God's promises. I think there's something within us, and I think you'd agree with me that within all of us, there's a deep need to achieve something of significance. And it's exhausting to either have no sense of purpose or to have a sense of purpose and not to achieve it. And the Bible is very clear that each one of us has a purpose. And it changes over time sometimes, but God calls us to certain things. And of course, we can invite other people to help us with that. A lot of us know that we are in the place that God's called us to be because He's put us there. There's a lot of us who are maybe in a place of work. Maybe we find ourselves in places of influence. Maybe we're serving in all kinds of different areas. If you're in a school, that's because God's put you there, most likely. If you're in a business, place of bringing God's kingdom there. If you're self-employed, you have the opportunity, of course, don't you, to spend time with people. I know there's people in the room who have incredible opportunities to bring God's kingdom as well as pray God's kingdom to come. And it's so important that we recognize and know our purpose that God has for us. And we'll look at Elijah in a moment, but I just got the sense that I was just thinking about this morning that God, for some of us, wants to remind us of what our purpose is, the things that He originally called us for. Maybe it was a while ago, maybe it was more recent. And I've had conversations with people recently who said, oh, I'm not quite sure what it is that God has called me to do. I don't know quite what my purpose is. And some of the things are, of course, are very generic purposes. They're things that are all of our purposes. But I believe there are also some specific things as well. And maybe one of the most helpful things we can do is two things. One is to ask God, And the second is to get alongside someone else who knows as well and say, what do you think? What are the things that God has called me to? Because often when I have conversations with people, I say, well, it's very clear to me, this is what God has called you to do. And they say, do you think so? Really? I say, yeah, of course. That's why God put you there. That's why God's giving you those gifts. That's why you have a passion for those that people group. God's put it within you. And we can help one another, can't we? And maybe at the end of the meeting this morning, you want to invite someone to pray with you, someone on our prayer team who would love to pray with you about that. But back to the story of Elijah. He's running, he's afraid, and he's clearly on the run from Queen Jezebel. She wants to kill him, and he's almost suicidal. But I think as well as the fear, I think also there's something of disappointment. You know, he's gone through all the highs, he's seen God break through, he's seen God's power at work, and then suddenly, it's like, maybe this was it, maybe this was revival, maybe this was everything that was going to happen, and then suddenly he finds himself stuck with the situation with Jezebel. And maybe for some of us, the thing that holds us back is often disappointment. Not just fear, but things just didn't work out the way that we expected. Life just doesn't always happen the way we'd like it to and the way that maybe we've planned. Anybody else notice that? And so what happens to Elijah? It says he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Basically, he says to God, I'm done. You know, we face a lot of things in terms of mental health issues, don't we? It's a lot of high profile in wherever we're at. Well, I think that I'm not an expert, but I think everything that Elijah displays at this point is pretty serious issues of mental health. And so it's not something that we've invented recently. It's been clearly an issue for over the centuries and for over time gone by. And so what happens? Well, what does God say to him? And I think this is so important for us. The thing that God speaks to him, he's been replenished. He's in God's presence. And God says to him in verse 15, it's so interesting. God says to him something very simple. He says, go back the way you came. And of course, this is a practical instruction. It's geographical. It's like, okay, this is where you need to go. But I think actually what was happening for Elijah was something more significant than that too. It wasn't just a case of here's the map, here's where you need to go. I think metaphorically and prophetically, God was saying to him, Elijah, it's time for you to rediscover who you are and what I've called you to do. It was time for him to step over his fear, to step over his disappointment, and actually to go back to the things that God had originally called him to. And basically, God's saying to him, it's almost like God's saying, you know, I haven't finished with you, Elijah. You may feel, this may be the place that you feel like you're in, but it's not time to give up. How many people know that God, it's not over until God says it's over? And for some of us, we find ourselves maybe in places where we think, oh, I'm just stuck. And what do I need to do to get me out of this? And sometimes God says, go back to the way you came and rediscover. Maybe even God is re-empowering us with the things that were originally our calling, with the things that he placed in our hearts, put in our lives sometimes many years ago. There's a sense that actually he's going to reignite something, re-empower something in our lives. And I feel as even this morning as we gather together, that part of as we pray at the end of our time here, that God is wanting by his Holy Spirit to re-empower some of us, to remind us of the things that he's called us to. Sometimes, some of us a long time ago, some of us it's more recent. I look back on my life and the times when I can just recognize where I was at the center of the things that God has made me for, that he's created me for. You know, it's one of the most replenishing things that can happen when you know that you're doing the things that God's called you to do. And I know many of us know that and experience that in our lives. And this morning, maybe God is saying to us, go back the way you come. Time for us to rediscover and to allow God to empower us the things that he's called us to be and to do. There's an energy that comes when we serve him, isn't there? And of course, there's all kinds of different ways we serve. Those of you around 3 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we on our Vision Sunday, we talked about some of the serving opportunities within church, and we remembered to bring them again this morning. So if you want to connect with some of those things, then I'll just mention that now too. So the last thing. So think about physical needs, God's presence. Stay focused. Remind ourselves that we want to be on right at the center of God's purposes. And the final thing, keep connected with God's people. If you were here 2 weeks ago and we talked about our value of growing, this is one of the things that I talked about then. But of course, it's so relevant now. And maybe if I'd asked you at the start, how do you stay replenished? Maybe this is one of the things that you would have come up with, being connected with God's people. You know, one of the major causes of exhaustion and depletion, I think, is isolation. You know, we live in a society, don't we, where the whole thing of loneliness is just huge, isn't it? You know, some people on our team in Ashwood have been connected with something called Citizens UK. It's like a movement, effectively, that's looking to find out what the needs of people are in our community and respond to them. And one of the things that group, which some people in this room are a part of, has identified is very simply the whole area of loneliness. It's interesting, isn't it? And saying, what can we do as a community on this issue? And there will be some opportunities that are coming up in a few weeks for us to be able to do something about that. And of course, it shapes the things that we want to do as church as well. You know, I just mentioned the serving pathways, but one of the things we want to do is make sure that we can play our part, not just individually, but together as church. What activities, what do we want to do so that we can help people remove loneliness from their lives? You know, place like, you know, food bank, there's people who come who are so lonely. They come for a coffee and they come for a chat. And they come, it's an opportunity for them to speak to someone. And, you know, we want to make sure that we are people who are responding in that way. But as a church as well, the things that we do, so important, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but just let me say something about social media. I'm grateful for social media. Thank God it's a great way to promote and talk, and it's a great way to communicate, great way for information. But let's be really, you know, it's really so important that we don't see social media as a replacement for real social interaction with real people. You know, it's a great, you know, hear my heart, social media is fantastic, it's great. And it's what's happening in our culture, it's so important. But let's never get to the place where it replaces social interaction, where we can really talk and really look into people's eyes. And what we see in this story, we actually see that Elijah makes a bit of a mistake. He, in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 18, it says, Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and listen to this, he says, he left his servant there, then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. So Elijah finds himself in a mess, and what does he do? He leaves his servant behind, he leaves his companion behind, and then he goes on alone. And of course, you're like me, you'll know that sometimes when we get low, or we find ourselves in positions of strain and stress, like Elijah did, you know, we have options, don't we? There's always a choice. And sometimes we do a runner, and sometimes we run towards people. And sometimes, seen it before, that actually we push away the very people that God's put into our lives to help us. So sometimes on our dashboard, maybe there's something that's flashing, there's an area of depletion. One of the things that we can do and we should do in terms of God's replenishment plan, is to find the people that God has put in our lives who will help us, will love us, will support us, will pray for us. Because what happened here, Elijah takes a wrong turn. He dismisses his servant, then he says, I'm alone. And later on, it's like he almost calls out to God. You can hear the cry of despair in his heart. And he actually says to God, God, I'm all alone. And like you can imagine God saying, well, yeah, you said goodbye. You sent your servant away. Who knows what God is thinking, but I just kind of wonder. God's like going, you know, go. So what happens? Well, we've already said it. God meets his physical needs. There's a spiritual encounter. There's this sense of a recommissioning of Elijah's purpose. And then God addresses this issue of isolation. And we read in chapter 19, verse 16, God says to him, Elijah, he says, I've got a new assignment for you. He says, it's time for you to go and anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. And what's happening here is that God basically puts Elijah back on track. He sorts him out, and then he sends him with this new assignment. And this assignment, as you read further in the story, some of you will know it very well, but Elijah becomes his companion, his advocate. They work together. They're alongside one another. There's companionship. There's relationship. And Elisha helps Elijah to carry the weight. You know, God never intended for us to be alone. And in terms of replenishment plan, I can't tell you the tremendous importance of being connected with God's people. Come and talk to me at the end if you want. I can tell you loads of stories of just people that God has put in my life. You know, sometimes the most significant thing that God puts within us and around us is a friend. Did you know that? And of course, that it's so important that we recognize that it's part of our replenishment plan, but also that we are, therefore, part of someone else's replenishment plan. You know, you can imagine that Elijah's there, he's feeling sorry for himself, and God's moving him on, taking him out of a place of isolation. But also, of course, Elijah then becomes Elisha's replenishment plan as well. And we know that's the way that God works, isn't it? God always has this plan for us to do that. And can I just say, I encourage you this morning that to identify the people who are God's people for you. And of course, there may be people who are, and I know many of you will have done this, but however young or old you are, to identify the people who are the people that you know God has put in your life. Of course, there are people within church, life group structure is a place where that can happen. But outside of church as well, I know there's other people who are both inside and outside of church that God has put firmly alongside me to encourage me, to support me, to pray. There's people I can just send a message to and they'll just say, can you pray right now? Maybe I'm not using the word depleted, but that might be the situation. And it's so important that all of us find that. Maybe you need to ask God today who those people are and identify them. And of course, we can do that for other people too. So maybe today, part of God's replenishment plan for someone else is for you to say, can I encourage you? Can I strengthen you? Can I pray for you? So important, isn't it? And some of these things, I don't know about you, but as you're listening, maybe you're saying these things are very practical. Yes, that's true. They really are. And I know for many of us, we've benefited from these general principles. And you think about, I love the story of Elijah and just seeing how it works out in his life. But maybe this morning, as we respond to God, there are certain things that we need to take some action, some things that we need to do. And I guess I'm encouraging us this morning to take note, watch out for the depletion warning signs in our life and to do something about them. You know, It's always a danger when we talk about some of these things on a Sunday that we allow the disconnect from what we're believing God is saying to us to actually engage and activate in our life. And I guess that's always the challenge, always has been, always will be. But I really want to encourage us, encourage me, to make sure that we watch out for the warning signs and do something about it. Amen. I'm done. So why don't we just take a moment. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now that you would cause the things that are important for each one of us today to rise to the surface in our thinking. And in these moments, God, I pray that you would just activate something in our lives, in our spirit, something that is connected with us this morning, this topic of your replenishment plan in our lives. And in this moment, God, I just pray that you would just highlight to us the things that are important for us today, the things that you're underlining for us, the things that maybe you're challenging, however young or old we are. God, I thank you for young people in this room who have opportunities to put healthy habits in place now which will replenish their lives for the rest of their lives. And for those of us who are older, Lord God, I pray that you would just help us to do the same. So just pause for a moment, allow the Holy Spirit just to underline things, and then we'll stand and we'll pray and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower us. We'll all stand and pray in a moment, but I just wonder if you know that there is something that you want to put in place or do something differently that God has spoken to you this morning. I wonder if you just join with me and just stand, and we'll just acknowledge that first, and then we'll all stand together in a moment. So if you're just going, yeah, I know that there's something that I just want to nail this morning. There's some area where I just think I need to take some action maybe, or God is speaking specifically. Take a moment just to acknowledge that before him. And then we'll all stand and pray together. Why don't we all stand together? Let's all stand together, shall we? And if you're on the prayer team today, maybe you'd just like to just head towards the prayer banner, being ready to pray for people in a moment if that's required this morning. But just as we close, why don't we, just with our eyes closed, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. We're not limited by dates in the calendar, but of course, the day when we're celebrating the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit being poured out, it's a great time, a great opportunity for us to say again, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill our lives? Such a significant part of God's replenishment plan for us is that we know his presence. So God, as we stand before you this morning, my prayer is this. First of all, I thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for your grace in our lives. God, I thank you that you came to an Old Testament prophet, Elijah, to meet his needs, to replenish him. And thank you that you still do that today. And God, oh, how we need replenishing. Oh, how we need you, God. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to strengthen us, to encourage us, to replenish us. Help us to stay and to live in your presence, aligned and energized by your purposes in our lives, and connected to your people, God. Empower us today, the power of your Holy Spirit. One of the things that happened when the Holy Spirit came was there was a new wave, a new sense of boldness. And just as we're praying now, I just get that sense in my spirit that for some of us, there's a new boldness coming. Boldness in prayer. Boldness in speaking to people about our faith in Jesus. Boldness to have the conversations that we need to have. Come, Holy Spirit.